You can turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 11. And then just if you want to put your finger on Luke 22, we're going to be reading those two passages this morning before we observe the Lord's Supper together. So Mark 11, 1 through 11, familiar passage. We just talked about it not too long ago. And then Luke 22, verses 14 through 20. You know, Palm Sunday marks the start of what we often call Passion Week. And, you know, this is an important week for us as Christians. Go ahead and go on that next slide, if you will, Ben. It's the final 7 days of Jesus' earthly ministry, right? And but for Jesus, it really was the beginning of the end. Not of his end of his life as we know it, but the end of his work on earth. And it was the culmination of everything that he'd been talking about. And I can only imagine what Jesus thought as he entered Jerusalem, as he neared the culmination of a long journey toward Golgotha. And so let's read about it here in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Then I'll talk about it a little bit. We'll have more to say. But it says, when they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage near and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, go into the village ahead of you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here right away. So they went and found a colt outside the street, tied by a door. They untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they answered them just as Jesus had said, and so they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their clothes on the road, and others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. And those who went ahead of them, those who followed, shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And he went into Jerusalem and into the temple. After looking around at everything, since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. You know, there were crowds of people here at this time. And the historian Josephus, if you've never read any of his stuff, it's quite fascinating with some of the background that he gives us during the time of Jesus. But according to the historian Josephus, there were approximately 2.7 million people in Jerusalem for the Passover. So this is a lot of people. And so as Jesus entered the city, the crowds were excited and they were waving palm branches. And the palm branch, and we understand what this is, it had become a national symbol during the time of the Maccabees, right? And it was a symbol of nationalism and liberation. And this occasion here would have certainly fit the scene as they waved those palm branches. And as they waved the palm branches, they also shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna is a transliteration of a Hebrew word and an Aramaic word, meaning save now, we pray. And in doing so, they were quoting scripture, quoted Psalm 118:25, which is a psalm of thanksgiving for the deliverance from an enemy. And they were cheering the arrival of their king, but we know that they had the wrong idea of Jesus. They believed that the one who comes in the name of the Lord was the king of Israel. They were sure that he would be a national leader. We've talked about this several times, that he would be a national leader to restore their nation to its former glory. But they hadn't listened to what Jesus had said previously according to what his real mission is. And so Jesus rejected their military and their political aspirations by sitting on a donkey, a symbol of humility and peace, rather than mounting a horse, which would be symbolic of victory and triumph. And the crowd's idea of the Messiah's purpose was far different from his own. He came to liberate people from sin's oppression, not from the oppression of Rome. So Jesus indeed did come in the name of the Lord, but he came to fulfill what he had previously been telling his disciples. In fact, he had said it three different times before this time as he entered in Jerusalem. Look back at chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And he will rise after 3 days." Jesus had come not to lead his troops into victory, but to lay down his life. To lay down his life for the sins of the world. And as he stated in chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The fact that Jesus came to lay down his life gives us the reason why we observe the Lord's Supper this morning. Because the Lord's Supper ordinance was initiated by Jesus himself on the eve of his crucifixion, just a few short days after this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And so I want us to read now Luke chapter 22. Turn over there if you will, Luke 22. Let's read verses 14 through 20. It says, "When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood which is poured out for you.'" Jesus told his disciples that they were to observe this ordinance in remembrance of him. To remember the redemptive significance of his death, what was going to be taking place. And we remember in John 1:29, when John the Baptist, remember when he saw Jesus approaching, what did he cry out? He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He wanted his disciples to remember. And John the Baptist clearly established the reason for Jesus' coming. He was the fulfillment of what the Passover lamb foreshadowed in Exodus 12. Go back and read that sometime. The lamb was sacrificed for the deliverance of one family, right? But at the cross, the Lamb of God was sacrificed to deliver the whole world from the power and the penalty of sin. The Passover lamb in Exodus 12 served as a substitute for the firstborn of Israel, but Jesus was our own substitute at Calvary. Without the death of the lamb and the spreading of its blood, the children of Israel would have suffered judgment from God. And we understand that without the shedding of blood, the blood of Jesus and his substitutionary death, that we would have no hope of salvation. We need to remember that this morning. We should also remember the supper's personal significance. Again, in those verses in Luke 22, 19 and 20 records Jesus' words. He said, "This is my body given for you. This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood which is poured out for you." You see, Jesus personalizes his statements by using the pronoun "you" here. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to suffer for them, that he was going to die for them. And true, Jesus would die for everyone, for the sin of the world. But his disciples heard Jesus say, "I am doing this for you. For you." And so observing the Lord's Supper carries a personal significance for us, because Jesus calls us to remember that he gave his body for each one of us personally. It also carries personal responsibility for us to participate together with reverence and humility and sincerity This is why Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. He said, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So what is Paul saying here? He's essentially asking us to do a heart check before we take communion together. We need to ask ourselves, are our hearts in the right place? Are we using this time to remember Christ's sacrifice and engage in community with each other? Are we divided or unified in Christ? And so when Paul said that no one should take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, he was speaking, if you know the story here, he was speaking to individuals who are rushing into it without thinking about its meaning. And therefore, they weren't honoring the body of Christ. So before we observe the elements together, as we typically do, I want us to take a few minutes to reflect on what we're doing this morning. Let's come before the Lord with a humble heart, to do a heart check, if you will. Let's have a true understanding of what the Lord's Supper is all about, all the things we've talked about. And so during this time, Andrew's going to come, he's going to play quietly, and I want you to just close your eyes for a few minutes. I want you to focus on Jesus now, why we're doing this, and then I'll close this in prayer in just a few moments. Father, this morning as we come together to receive these elements, Father, we are mindful of what this supper represents. It represents the giving of your life, the shedding of your blood, and the forgiveness of our sins. Father, help us to focus upon that today as we continue on in worship. And we ask this in Jesus' name. If I could have my deacons come at this time, please. As Jesus met with his disciples during that last meal together, Jesus took two traditional parts of the Passover meal, the passing of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and he gave them a new meaning and a new representation, perhaps something they'd never heard before. When passing the bread, Jesus said, "This is my body." Why would he refer to the bread as his body? But John 6:35 reminds us that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. And what do we know about bread? It's considered a staple in life, right? In other words, it's a basic dietary item. You can survive a long time just eating bread and water. It wouldn't be very fun, but you could survive a long time just eating bread and water. Bread is such a basic food item that it becomes synonymous with eating together. When we say, come over to my house and let's break bread together, it indicates that we want to share a meal with someone. Bread also plays an integral part in the Jewish Passover meal. The Jews were to eat unleavened bread during the Passover feast, and then for 7 days following as a celebration from the Exodus of Egypt. When the Jews were wandering in the desert for 40 years, God rained down what? Bread from heaven, right? To sustain the nation. So when he said, "This is my body," what Jesus is saying is that the bread symbolizes his body and is necessary for salvation. When he broke the bread, he is portraying the sacrifice that he would make and the spiritual benefit that would be passed on to those who have a personal relationship with him. As we eat the bread this morning, we should remember and be grateful for God's wonderful gift through his Son, Jesus.
The table, all the weak and the able, there's a meal there, it is so fine. Christ prepared it, let us share it as he breaks the loaf of bread and he fills the cup. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for what it represents. It represents your son's body. He was broken and beaten because of his great love for us and because of your great love for us. Father, may we remember that today as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. Take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful for God's wonderful gift of salvation. Next, we receive the cup that represents the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus used these words to remind us that God forgives our sins through his own blood. 1 John 1:7 proclaims this truth. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Another verse that proclaims this is found in Hebrews 9:22. It says, "According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." The juice that we drink this morning represents the very life's blood that flowed from Jesus' dying body so that we might have complete forgiveness of our sins. And while we understand the juice in this cup may be sweet to our taste, we need to remember the bitter circumstance of its offering. The significance of this cup means that someone died. The shedding of blood means that a life was taken. And this life was the most precious life that the world has ever seen. It was the life of our Lord Jesus. The contents of this cup represent his life blood, and it was poured out on our behalf.
Judgment comes not from the east nor the west, north and south, only God knows the best. He condemns those who sin and those who are wrong, but he acquits those who praise him in song. When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord. The life he gave up, he hung there to die that you and I might live. every woman and man, young girl and boy, worship the Lord with your songs filled with joy.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what this cup represents. It represents your Son's blood that was shed upon the cross. And the blood covers us and forgives us of our sins. We thank you for what it represents. Father, we pray now that as we drink it, we would remember. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you and be thankful. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.